can mute or we can remove someone from the list, but we don't. I can do a little more investigating in it, but to my knowledge, we don't have that control.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. We have that in the other platform, and it's a little handy whenever you're having the, you know, people on the phones. That way you know who they are. But all the same. Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Roll call.
All right. Mr. Deffendorf.
Here.
Mr. Earp.
Here.
Mr. Taggart.
Here.
Mr. Ramos.
Here.
Mr. Lillibridge.
Here.
And Mr. Taylor.
Here.
All right, everybody's present and accounted for.
All right, that's great. It's been a while since we've been able to have everybody, so glad everybody was able to make it today. Let's see, let's go ahead and move into the public comment period. Graham, has anyone reached out to you to ask about making any public comments?
They have not.
Okay, is there anyone on the call that wishes to speak during the public comment period at this time? I think everybody's mask muted, so you may have to unmute yourself. All right. Unless someone speaks up in a moment, we're going to assume there's not. We'll move on to the consent. Move to approve consent.
Second, Mike Taylor.
All right, it's been moved and seconded by Mike Taylor. So instead of doing roll call votes, I know we're on a call, but unless I hear somebody vote no, I won't go back to do a roll call vote. So, roll call votes will only be used if I hear some kind of, negative vote on an item. All right. So all in favor of consent, say aye.
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 All right. All opposed, nay. Motion passes. Item number E, presentations to the committee, none. Item number F, update possible direction to staff regarding the authority's phase 1A projects. Jason Beamer.
Good afternoon, everyone. So a couple of just kind of quick overview items. The work on Old Black Colony is beginning in earnest. We've got a little over 700 feet of pipe laid down in that general area. Board number 5 has just passed the two-thirds mark for completion. Bore number 6 is almost complete. Moving on to the pump station, it looks like right now the week of June 22nd, we'll be doing the civil walkthrough, the electrical walkthrough, and finalizing all the punch list items, as well as a couple of independent communications items that need to be hard tested during that week. Once that's done, then we're down to just a handful of items that are identified at that time that need to be corrected, and then we can close out. So with that said, that's all I've really got, and I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Okay. Doesn't sound like we have. Go ahead.
I got a question. This is Mr. Ramos. Jason, it says final change order anticipated. What was that for?
So the final change order will be to include the additional time that's been added to the project. We also will have a element in there that will deal with the communication system and needing to have different software than what we had initially anticipated. That'll be included in that as well.
Okay, thank you.
And I do have one other question, Jason, on the pump testing?
Yes, sir.
I mean, without the piping complete and you able to pump into the head conditions that will exist when everything's done, how can we say they, I mean, saying that they appear to be on the curve is not the same as really knowing they're on the curve under operating conditions. So,
well, actually, what we went ahead and did, each of the discharges from the individual pumps have a throttling valve, essentially. So we created enough back pressure against the pump that then in turn replicated the anticipated hydraulics of the line going into Buda.
Okay. And do we intend to, when that's all complete and we're actually using it, do we intend to redocument that just to make sure that was on target?
That is the plan, yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm not hearing any more comments or questions. So thank you, Jason. Let's move on to item number F2. Update possible direction to staff regarding the authority's Phase 1B program. Ryan.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Wait for Graham to get the slides up.
Oh, I got the wrong one. Let me try. To me, this is the worst thing about Teams, is trying to select the appropriate... Oh, share. There we go. All right, Ryan, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So for the general update, a little bit of ongoing progress, and then we do have one consultant work order on the agenda for Blanton and Associates. With regards to ongoing progress, well drilling, we have submitted the documents to the Water Development Board. Just awaiting their final approval at this point, and anticipate that we will be issuing the notice to proceed to the selected contractor Hydro Solutions here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. We have a pre-construction meeting scheduled for 2 weeks from tomorrow on the 25th. So anticipate getting construction going here pretty quickly for the well drilling project. With regards to the Texas Water Development Board, just some brief updates. The EFR for the raw water infrastructure was approved here over the last month. Pipeline segment A is the next one in waiting. We are just waiting for environmental to get through the review with the Corps of Engineers right now for that segment. So, once we clear that hurdle, then the EFR and the environmental report can go into the board for review on that particular segment. And then the recently submitted release of funds for the booster pump station property acquisition and final design was approved a few weeks back as well. With regards to some other ongoing progress, couple items just to touch on briefly, just to give you a quick update on standards that are under development by the program and some other items. The pipeline standard specifications, we've received vendor feedback that had already gone through a lot of consultant review, so we've now gotten feedback from several vendors for piping and valves and other appurtenances, so now we're just in the process of updating that final draft. The cathodic protection standards for corrosion protection of the pipelines, we've received consultant feedback as well as project advisory committee feedback, and are in the process of finalizing that document to issue here over the next few weeks also. And then one other item to touch on that we should be coming to the technical committee with over the next couple of months is an operation and maintenance budget projection, something that we've been in the works on over the last few months. We've developed an initial draft for Jason and Graham's review right now, so they're taking a look at that, and as I said, expect that we'll be bringing that to the technical committee in the next couple of months for comments. And then just with regards to ongoing design milestones, right now, heavy on 60% design review for pipeline segment A, as well as the water treatment plant and raw water infrastructure. So a lot on the program's plate and on Graham and Jason's plate right now in the way of submittal reviews. So pipeline segment B, we anticipate to have in the next 1 to 2 weeks for review. So plenty going on in that regard. With regards to route analyses and rights of entry, as has been the case the last couple of months, really just down to some stragglers right now, a few on segment C that we're finalizing rights of entry on, and then segment E, just a few parcels that are awaiting confirmation. On the well field, we're lacking a couple of rights of entry before LNV, the design consultant, can get out there and start to review all of the potential alignments of the well field piping off of the treatment plant property. So nearly there on that, and hopeful in the next few weeks we'll get there so that that field work can proceed. And then on acquisition, plenty of ongoing work, obviously, with regards to the land agents coordinating with landowners. So A, B, and D continue to be the main focus, though segment E is starting to get appraisals under development as well. So with regards to the land acquisition team, though, they're primarily focused on A, B, and D for the moment. So some additional easements have come in, have been signed and closed, but hopeful over the next couple months we'll see quite a bit more progress in that regard. Any questions on the general update before I move on to the contract?
I've got a question, and this kind of relates to what Graham sent this morning regarding, I guess, the Vista Ridge, Graham, and the registration with 311. So can you just elaborate and let us know, are we going to do that? I'm sure we're going to do that, but what's the process? Or what, you know, just tell us what happened to Vista Ridge and tell us how we're going to prevent that from happening to us.
Yeah, so many of you may have heard that recently the Kinder Morgan pipeline, as it was crossing the Vista Ridge pipeline, an instrument or something seemed to have pierced a little hole, what was deemed a relatively small hole in the Vista Ridge pipeline, causing them to have to shut it down and spend a couple of days doing repairs to get it back in service. Based on the report made to the SAWS board yesterday, the pipeline was not in the 811 system, which is what contractors are supposed to call before digging to make sure that they don't hit critical infrastructure like that. And so there's certainly a cost to joining the 811 system. I've got a note to myself to research that more. I suspect it's based on the length of the asset and whether it's in a rural area or more of an urban area. So there's probably various ways to handle that, and I need to do more research as to what would make the most sense for us moving forward. 811 is a very common one. I know for cities used, I believe St. Marcus is a member, but by comparison, I believe Kyle does not rely on it. They do their own utility locates, if I'm not mistaken. So it really is a little bit different entity by entity how those things are dealt with.
San Marcos is a member. I can verify that. And actually, 811 is the clearinghouse for that information. They are the sole one-call organization functioning in Texas currently. There had been two, but the other firm opted out last year. Let me know if you need help getting contact with them, Graham. I'm on the board.
I thought you were. I thought I'd seen that somewhere. I appreciate that, and I will. But, Umberto, I had a note to myself to start researching that a little bit more. And my understanding is the Vista Ridge Pipeline is now enrolled back in the 811 program.
Yeah, and they notify all the utilities, you know, of which there are many that might be in some of those areas. So it is the safest, you know, method.
All right, Graham, thank you. I had it down at 311, but it's 811, so all right, thanks.
Moving on to consulting services, as I said before, we've got one work order on the agenda today. That is work order number 5 for Blanton & Associates. Once again, part of, as we've seen over the last few months, part of their additional investigations where they've uncovered potential hazardous materials or associated conditions in the field during their initial phase one effort. These are identified and, you know, some are recommended for further testing or exploration. So work order number 5 is for 6 locations on segment E that have come up. And the scope of work is similar to what you've seen on the prior few work orders where they're looking at in this case, six locations, with soil sampling at multiple locations. If there's groundwater present, they will take a groundwater sample as well, you know, and it's, whether it's heavy, potential heavy metal content or suspected asbestos in several cases, which in cases like that, if there's a, you know, a structure, friable material, they'll take, a sample of that material and take that back for further sampling and investigation. And then, preparing those results into a report for Alliance's use. So we've gone through this process now, in its entirety on segment A, which was tied to work order number two. And these have all been time and material contracts. You know, we've tried to make sure that Blanton assumes multiple mobilizations to perform the effort. Kind of a, you know, make sure we've got a little more time in there than we think is needed, so that hopefully when they finish the work, there's effort and funding left over. In the case of work order number two, there's about $35,000 that won't be utilized from that work order because they were able to get the work done a little more efficiently than what was assumed for the proposal. So we are hopeful that'll be the case for three and four, and of course five as well. But just to kind of give you an update on that overall effort, segment A, I think I mentioned in prior months, you know, the results that they got back were all confirming that there was no further concerns of significance that would impact construction significantly. So we'll continue to keep you updated as we get more those results in. We've gotten a few preliminary results on segment D and B that haven't brought back anything of concern yet, but a few other parcels where there's still some pending testing. So all of that to say, work order number five is a continuation of that effort, this time for segment E. Be happy to take any questions.
All right, I'm not hearing anything from anybody, so I guess we're all good. Brian, did you need any specific direction from us? It didn't seem like it.
I believe the next agenda item that was maybe inserted as a addendum would deal with the approval of that,
the item number
that work F3? Order.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to item number F3. Move to approve item number F3.
Mr. Ramos, second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Motion passes, Graham. Unanimously, it appears.
Yep. Thank you.
Then item number F4, update discussion and possible direction regarding Phase 1B program cost estimates and schedules. Back to Ryan.
Thank you. So we'll, as we've done quarterly here over the last few quarters, give you an update on both schedule and budget and touch on a few items associated with each. Starting with schedule, what you see here is a snapshot from what was shown last quarter in March with regards to schedule. You know, we were primarily still working through getting the pipeline segments, transmission pipelines, to finalize confirmed alignments segment to segment before moving on to final design. And through that process, we're seeing some delays as we were just trying to finish up with field work, the consultants, whether it was the environmental or design consultant or what have you, just trying to finish up that work in the field as rights of entry were obtained, and then being able to move on to final design. So that's kind of a snapshot of what that status looked like last time, with maybe a few of the segments still in flux in that regard. Moving on to the current update, here in the last few months, we've seen that stabilize a bit more. segment E is really the only one here that shows a change with regards to the anticipated construction completion date. As it stands right now, you know, there was some movement between preliminary and final design in the case of some of the projects, but the overall, you know, anticipated completion of construction remained the same for pretty much across the board for the remainder of the project. So that was good to see. As I mentioned, you know, a lot of it has been just trying to get through that alignment confirmation process primarily for the pipelines. And we saw that stabilize a bit here over the last few months. And the design consultants, as we moved into final design, have been looking at opportunities to try to accelerate design where they see it as feasible. But that's a conversation we're continuing to have with each of the pipeline consultants, especially seeing where we can still continue to try to expedite effort. So as mentioned already, no changes really to the anticipated completion for any of the projects from last quarter, with the exception of segment E seeing a little bit of a 1 month delay. But as I said, that's something now that they're actively starting final design, going to see what we can do to try to accelerate that design process moving forward. Looking ahead, with regards to land acquisition, I think we've got, you know, one significant potential concern there, and we've talked a little bit about this in prior updates. Of course, with COVID-19 pretty much closing the courthouses more or less for the last couple of months, things such as temporary injunction hearings, which thankfully we don't have hardly any of those remaining, but looking ahead to eminent domain and condemnation, as these courthouses are now opening up again, the initial feedback we're hearing from special counsel is that they're going to be looking to lessen the amount that's on the docket in a given day in order to reduce traffic in the courthouses, you know, to reduce the number of people that are actively coming and going within the courthouses. Now, they may look to supplement some of this with hearings, virtual hearings, wherever feasible, but we don't know exactly what shape that's going to take just yet. And obviously, we've got three different counties here, Caldwell, Hayes, Guadalupe, that we have pipelines in. You know, exactly which approach each courthouse is going to take, we don't necessarily know that yet. So special counsel is reaching out to all of them and trying to get a better handle on what that's going to look like. So, but that's looking ahead. That's one concern of significance we see is just if the special commissioner's hearings for eminent domain cases get delayed beyond what would be the norm before COVID-19, then, you know, that certainly is a critical path concern as we move ahead. So something we'll again keep you all updated on, but just wanted to put it on your radar now. And then lastly, looking ahead over the next few months, as far as other items on our agenda for the overall schedule updates, we plan to come back to you to discuss commissioning further as well as procurement further. And, you know, both of those items could potentially impact the sequence of when some of these projects come out for proposals. So more to come on that, but that's just something to make you aware of as well that we'll have more on in the coming months. Glad to take any questions on schedule before we move on to budget.
So, Ryan, this is Mr. Ramos.
Yes.
Two questions. So segment E, the delay is a segment that's going to Canyon Regional, correct?
Correct. This quarter, that one, we, okay, on account of wrapping up that alignment confirmation process, we saw the schedule slide by about a month.
Okay. Then the other question I have is, and you said there's no change to this, and I probably asked this already once, but I just want to ask it again. So pipeline segment C, where is that pipeline going? Is that the
C as in cat?
Yeah, because you said it's okay. Delayed. It's not delayed. It's passed our substantial completion of June 2023, correct?
Sure.
It's going beyond that. So what
sure,
segment is that?
That is the segment that extends up to County Line, Kyle, Buda, and San Marcos' second delivery point. The design consultant for that one is just beginning final design as well, so we are coordinating with them to see where there's opportunities to accelerate also. But also, you know, the other side of it, of course, is the land acquisition process. And what we've seen so far on that segment is, you know, there's where there is vacant land, there's a potential development that's, you know, for most of them, or for many of them at least. And so we find that that's one where we're working with developers and other folks continuously to try to work through potential alignment concerns. And so definitely any opportunities we have to move along faster, we're going to try to, but that's, that particular segment has a lot of that we're trying to work through in the process in addition to just the design itself.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Hey, Ryan, this is Mike Taylor. I got a question on, you know, as we get this thing finally designed, are we in conversations with the folks that meet the specifications for our pipe? We're going to have any problems getting pipe manufactured for this big of a project?
Definitely do not anticipate any problems getting their interest in bidding something like this. I mentioned earlier, you know, we've been having conversations with multiple vendors already for multiple materials. You know, this project, the majority of the transmission pipeline, at least the majority of it's 36 through 42, even 48 inch pipe, and those vendors, manufacturers, you know, the materials we're allowing are ductile iron, steel, concrete cylinder pipe, steel cylinder pipe, and they're all actively engaged in reviewing our specifications, and we feel like we're seeing a fair amount of interest from the manufacturing community in that regard.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions?
Go ahead and move on to budget update.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So this month we're sort of doing a two-part budget update. I'm going to touch on some things this month, but we're gathering some additional information right now to come back and do an update in July as well. To clarify that a little bit, there's some information pending I'll mention here momentarily, but the focus of the update today is just looking at a snapshot of where the construction cost projections currently sit versus what was initially developed when we set the budgets, the base budgets back in early 2019. So just to refresh everyone on that, you know, as part of the preliminary engineering report effort, the program developed the base budget early 2019, which included consultant cost projections for the consultants that had already made some headway in design and provided some cost projections, but also where those didn't exist at that point. In the case of a few of the projects, the program provided cost projections in place of those. Where it stands right now, and, you know, in the month since, is we've progressed, the consultants have progressed from up through the 30% preliminary engineering process to some, such as I mentioned earlier, segment A, water treatment plant, that have already gone all the way through and submitted a 60% design submittal. So by and large, everyone is through preliminary engineering at this point, and some of the consultants are ahead overall, heading into 60% and beyond at this point. So through that process, we've received updated cost projections, and that's what we'll get into here momentarily. Of course, late last year, we also did the program cost reduction measures where we looked at some things as a program, provided recommendations, and the technical committee and the board directed us to move forward with several of those. And then lastly, since that time, there's been the effort associated with adjusting cost projections based on those cost reduction measures. And then there's also, particularly in the case of the facilities, the pump station and the water treatment plant, there's been a focused effort at looking at value engineering wherever feasible. So what we're going to get into the next couple slides doesn't factor in the Alliance and GBRA split percentage-wise. That's something specifically for the facilities that's still being looked at, and we'll be back in July to kind of give you the full spectrum of all of that. But we felt it would be good to at least let you see now where we're seeing, you know, what the updated cost projections look like from the consultants, and in particular where we're seeing significant overages, or in the case of a couple, some that are coming in lower than anticipated. So, as I said, this isn't all of the projects. These are the ones where we're seeing, you know, the biggest delta so far. Right off the bat, the water treatment plant, of course, is probably the largest project anticipated in terms of construction cost for the overall program. And just to explain the table very briefly, the base budget, that's what was included in the preliminary engineering report. The current projection is what the latest submittal from the design consultant shows, and then of course a percent increase or decrease from that initial number, and then the notes just identifying where they're at in the submittal process, in the design process. So water treatment plant, as you can see right now, we show a pretty significant discrepancy with regards to what the consultant has come up with through 60% design versus where we were at the base budget phase. As I mentioned before, we've worked through, coordinated with them on some value engineering efforts. This number has actually come down $4 to $5 million based on that effort here in the spring, but obviously projected to be still much higher than we anticipated. With regards to where the biggest discrepancies lie, just looking back at what was developed back in the PER, the raw water section of the treatment plant has expanded a bit. There's going to be two raw water tanks instead of one for GBRA and one for Alliance, along with associated appurtenances and controls. The site civil and the roadway work, including Wolf Run Road, we're seeing a significant difference there versus what was initially projected. And there's several other areas as well. I do want to note that we've been reviewing the 60% design, the program, Alliance, now Tate Dawson as the selected construction management firm, and we have a lot of potential cost-saving comments going back to the water treatment plant consultant. We think there's more opportunities there to bring down that number. Obviously, we'd like to see it come down significantly, so we're certainly focused on that. And really just making sure that what's being designed now, what's being included now in the design is really only what's needed for phase 1B, except for those things that would be a mistake to not account for the long-term development and expansion of the plant. So obviously plenty of more work to be done there to try to bring that number down, and we're focused on that.
This is Mr. Ramos. I have a question on that. I've got a question, if I may. So, more than what we thought the base was going to be, you alluded to the fact that because of GBRA's participation increase. What are some other driving factors? Because I kind of heard that the water treatment plant is basically going to be, unlike Canyon Regional, which Canyon Regional is inside a building, is this facility going to be, the filter is going to be outside exposed? Can you elaborate as to the design of this water treatment plant? And also, if you could also, in your discussion, let us know who are these consultants. I think the consultant for this, I can't remember the consultant for this, but give me some more information.
Sure. The consultant for the water treatment plant is Walker Partners. With regards to the filters, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and Graham or Jason, feel free to jump in. If I'm not mistaken, the filters are intended to be enclosed in a building, but correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, so this is Graham. I'll jump in here. We've got two raw water tanks and then a chemical injection system at the rapid mix area into gravity sand filters that are enclosed in the facility. Then the water goes into clear wells and high surface pumps, vertical turbine high surface pumps that pump the treated water out. For the most part, it's very similar to the Wells Ranch project for Canyon Regional, with the exception of some of the chemical addition. We've got rapid mix basins with mixers to get the lime we're adding mixed in good. And as of now, we also are planning on having carbon dioxide added, which will help with the buffering capacity of the water. That is somewhat dependent on the raw water quality that we get from the test well, from the wells that are going to be drilled, the wells that are going to be drilled on the site. And so right now that includes that carbon dioxide system in the design, but that is something that may be able to be either deferred or not used at all, just depending on the actual raw water quality that we get.
Okay, and one more question. So this doesn't show the split, right? This doesn't show the split between the Lions and G-Berry, correct?
That's correct.
And what is the split again?
Well, it's dependent on flow. And so it's a little bit more tricky with the water treatment plant because we've got to go process unit by process unit and look and see what the unit is sized for and what that split will be then. And so that's where we've asked the consultants to do that now. And we're going to come back to you in July with more detailed information about that. So it's a bit of a challenge to get that split on the facilities, on the water treatment plant and the booster pump station, as opposed to the pipelines, where it's a much easier to review. And Brian alluded to it. Yeah, you're welcome. Brian alluded to it. We had another conversation this morning. Based on some review comments, and I counted 8 or 9 major items where we've identified, significant, what I'd say are significant cost-saving discussion items, and, limiting the amount of plant road that's necessary, that there could be, some could be added in the future, but we don't need, plant roads everywhere day one. Just various aspects that we're going to review with Walker Partners and have them incorporate into the design, and some other aspects that should significantly change the cost. Part of this package as well is the raw water infrastructure. You see that one towards the bottom. And for instance, with that one, we saw unit costs on pipe that are 1.5 times what we are getting right now for the pipeline that we're constructing in the Puda area, or segment B on our phase 1A. So we think there's a number of items there that need to be reviewed, and we need to get the consultants to be a little bit more confident in their cost numbers that they're projecting for us on these projects. Alternatively, I'll say like the segment A pipeline, so the raw water infrastructure, that LNB, segment A pipeline is LAN. Their costs have come down slightly. A lot of that is representative of, you recall, we've gone from a 48-inch pipe to a 42-inch pipe, and then we're going to alternate bid the 48-inch pipe. And so that's reflective here. But they've continued to, their costs have stayed on track and reduced slightly as a result of that change in pipe size. And then obviously our well field, the actual well drilling, As we noted when that was approved by the board a couple of months ago, that cost actually came in 20% lower than what we had estimated in our base budget.
So this is Tom Taggart. I just wanted to make one comment for anyone wondering about the totals, and I was. I guess the base budget that we're looking at there sums to about $85.8 million, and the current total is about $109.2 for a differential of $23.4. So, and the only thing I'd ask, you know, when we do, you know, tables like this to put a sum.
Sure, and just to clarify, go ahead, Graham.
Go ahead, Graham. So you're going
to cover it? Go ahead. I was just going to say, just to clarify, Tom, this isn't the complete list of these projects. As Graham alluded to a moment ago, when we come back in July, we'll come back with all projects, the complete totals, not only including projected construction costs, but also, you know, support services and everything else, along with that Alliance and GVRA split, projected split, to kind of give you the full picture of what this looks like now, all things in. But we wanted to at least highlight what we were seeing to date with regards to some of the more significant construction costs for some of the more significant projects.
I understand. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, I'm sure y'all can guess what my comment is, so I won't say it, but you know, y'all keep working to get the numbers down. I'm sure you're working at it really hard, but you know, we all know that.
I assure you that,
yeah.
The first thing we do when we get a submittal in, Ryan and I know well enough that first thing we do is open the OPCC to see where things are at before we look at anything else, because that is the driving concern, I think, on all these projects.
Is GBRA in the E2 segment too? Is that why that one's so much higher, or what happened there? That seems like way off base.
They are not that one in actually, that segment.
That is one, the
Guadalupe River crossing. Brian, go ahead. I'll let you.
Right. That you were going to say exactly what I was going to say, Graham. The river crossing, what was anticipated in terms of the projected cost of tunneling under the lake, under the river, based on the current anticipated tunneling methods that at least are being evaluated currently by the consultant Walker Partners. They anticipate that's the primary reason is that tunnel cost there. They expect it to be significantly higher than what was originally anticipated. Now, they're only through 30% at this point. They've got a lot more subsurface exploration and tunneling design to do because they're looking at more than one method. So certainly hopeful there's an opportunity there for that to come down quite a bit. But that's the primary reason as it stands right now.
Okay. All right, we'll continue on. We'll look forward to the more detailed analysis in July.
Okay. This is the same information here on this slide, just obviously presented a little bit differently, just to give you a sense for the order of magnitude between some of these projects and the projected cost. So looking ahead to July, as I said, we'll be providing an update on, you know, within the overall program budget, what do the totals look like now versus what was originally looked at versus, of course, how it's been updated based on the program cost reduction measures. And give you a look at the updated Alliance GVRA projected split between those two. And then with regards to just the running update of expenditures, as shown here in the next couple of tables, there are clearer versions in the packet. But main thing I'd say on this is, you know, we were seeing a pretty good discrepancy in terms of projected expenditures month to month, quarter to quarter, and a bit of a gap that was widening, primarily due to just the expenditures anticipated were based on the baseline schedule. We've lost time primarily in trying to get through the alignment confirmation process on the pipelines, which has affected being able to move in the land acquisition and of course move forward with various other things. So main thing I'll say is that though there is still a gap, the quarter to quarter, month to month, we're seeing that it's a consistent gap now because so many of the projects are in final design, because land acquisition is underway. So, so all of that to say, we're not really losing any ground in terms of what's projected versus what's actual at this point. I'll be glad to take any additional questions. Okay. More to come next month. Thank you.
All right. So let's move on to, let's see here, F5, I believe, the update on the SWIFT funding.
Sir, I'm getting there here.
That's fine. Take your time.
There we go. So, just as we continue forward, the board, the Texas Water Development Board, did approve subsidies for 2020. They're matched the same subsidies we've had historically with the SWIFT. So if we do those that issue 20-year debt, get a 35% subsidy, and then that 30-year debt gets a 20% subsidy for this year. They also passed a resolution that said, looking forward, they're going to reduce those subsidies on the low interest loans to 25% and 14% respectively. As they stated in the meeting, that's really as a result of they've issued more debt from the corpus early than what they had expected. And so obviously their returns are phased in over 20 to 30 years. And so the member of the board that has the finance background is concerned that the corpus won't last quite as long as the 50-year period that they had hoped it would. And so by reducing the subsidies, they feel like they'll get a little bit more cash back and make that corpus a little bit more whole and will last the full 50 years. So they can always come back, and the board even stated this, if they want, and change what those subsidies are. But this was clearly their signal that they're going to look to reduce those subsidies moving forward. With that, after they made that approval, the staff updated their rates that they're going to issue, or what the rates are currently for this year moving forward for our updated projection. And so they sent those out, and they are those base projections are really low, actually. The market, as you know, as we discussed last month, has been pretty volatile lately, and the interest rates would be the lowest we've ever had. I put together the table here at the bottom to show kind of historically the rates we've looked at as we closed in 2015, 17, and 2019. And then our most recent projections from February had rates at 2.9 and 2.06. And those are, that should be backwards. I'm sorry, the 2.06. No, that's right. I'm sorry. That is correct. And then the current projection. And I'm suggesting that for budgeting purposes, that we take the rates that the TWDB has out now and adding 50 basis points. I worked with our financial advisors, and because of the potential volatility in the markets between now and when these, we would actually close on rates, which would be the last week in September, the first week in October when the Water Development Board closes. That we keep that 50 basis point cushion in there for budgeting perspective. We certainly hope they continue to come in low, but with this cushion, you see that the rates are still lower than what we had in 15 and 17, and are a little bit above than what we closed on last year. So to me, it seems prudent to budget around the slightly higher numbers that will really only affect next year's payments. And then, obviously, we would true that up once we issue that debt and use the actual debt service schedules that we have in place once we close on those funds. So I wanted to get discussion or questions on that. I've asked for those updated debt service tables based on the addition of 50 basis points. which I expect to have early next week. And once I have that, I will share that out with all of the sponsors. But I wanted to see if there's any questions or concerns with moving forward budgeting based on the rates plus the small cushion.
Graham, this is Mike Taylor. I agree with your assumption. The conservative approach will keep us from getting a rate shock.
Well, just, obviously you follow the recommendation of the financial advisors, but we just went out for the $33 million wastewater treatment plant, and we sold ours at premiums. We wound up only having to sell $27 million worth of bonds to get to net $33 million.
That's great. That's good to know. I'll check with our advisors as to.
I don't know the comparison of the interest rate. I don't think it was, it would have been municipal quality, double A minus. So it wouldn't be too terribly far off from what you're looking at these rates being. And there's just so much money looking for a place to go that is secure right now that we were able to sell them at premium.
Are there any other questions on the budgeting around this? Again, early next week, we should have the updated projections, and I'll send those out to each of you on here and your respective financial department folks so that we can continue those discussions.
So I guess the only question I would have, Graham, when we say adding 50 basis points, you're talking about what we anticipate in the budget for our calcs, right? I mean, it's only going to be, ultimately the rate's going to be what the rate is, when they actually issue and what buy down they're willing to do, correct?
That's exactly right. It's only for our budgeting purposes and
right.
For our use internally and with the sponsors for planning for next year.
And on that basis, I mean, I agree with Mike. I think it prevents us from getting surprised in the event we have a higher rate, so. Although the irony of it is, I must say, is when the Feds flooded the market with 0% money and they're talking about even potentially going negative, it's ironic that we're adding 50 basis points to protect ourselves.
Yes, it is. It's a strange time.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions or comments? Let's keep this show moving then off to F6, the proposed budget for fiscal year 2021. Graham?
So I haven't had a chance to make a lot of changes or updates to the budget, primarily because of the submittal reviews on the 60% that we've been going through. But the administrative committee was able to meet on May 29th, and they have recommended approval of the employee expenses portion of the budget. Basically, we would not have any raises for those that are in the same positions in 2020-2021, but we would have the ability to issue some merit bonuses for employees, excluding me as the executive director within that. And then we would keep all of their expenditures as previously shown. And so that's reflected in the updated projection that I have before you. I'm still waiting. Now, pending since we resolved that item on the last on item F5, we'll update the debt service portions of the tables as well to reflect with the 50 basis point addition. It'll still drop a little bit. It should drop a little bit from what we have in this one because we had assumed a little bit higher interest rates at that time, and then make a few other adjustments. But I'm open and happy to take any input or questions that you have. There's still a few things. That I want to finalize out within this in terms of projections, but nothing that I think will affect any of the sponsor payments for the next fiscal year.
Questions, comments, concerns? I guess until we, get the tighter numbers, it's not really much we can do about the debt service stuff, and we kind of have a good control over our operational expenditures at the moment. So, Graham, did you feel like you need any feedback or, you know, any decisions? You're just kind of giving us an update that you're working on it and you don't have all the answers yet.
Just an update. And we've got that admin committee recommendation and just see if they had anything else. We tend to update it every month during this season just to see if there's any other input or questions. So,
yeah, I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything particular that I was expecting to see that isn't included. So, all right, well, let's move on then. And that's going to take us to item number F7, which is the update on all of our different partnerships.
So the Gonzales District had their meeting last night, held virtually again. I think the only thing of note is that the SAWS permits were renewed administratively, just like we've had ours done in the past. So that system seems to be working okay. There was nothing else discussed at that meeting, I think, that directly impacts us. We're still trying to work through on the monitoring well agreement, how that's going to work out. And we don't have anything finalized yet. Certainly hope to get that resolved here shortly for everybody's sake. Moving on, Plum Creek District is set to meet next week. I did look at their agenda. There's nothing on there that affects us in any way. They continue to only meet in person and not virtually. So I don't expect that we will attend that meeting unless and until they allow a virtual option or they start to discuss something that has more impact on us. And then the last update I have is GMA 13 has tentatively scheduled their next meeting for Friday, June 26th in Pleasanton, although no agenda has been released yet for that meeting. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Then let's move to the Executive Director's Report.
Well, our June board meeting is in 2 weeks on the 24th. Right now, plan on it being a virtual meeting. And that's really the only update I've had at this point.
Thanks, Graham. I mean, I think my hope is that we'll be able to at least have the option for virtual attendance, regardless of whether the meetings are in person or not. So if that's going to be the case, it'd probably be good for you and staff to start looking into the technical solutions that would be required to make that happen. And that way we have an idea as a board what we may need to do in order to facilitate that.
Will do.
I guess suitably that brings us to committee member items for future agendas. That obviously would be something that's not included in the budget, some sort of IT expenditure in order to accommodate you know, joint hybrid type meetings. So short of that, does anybody else have anything that they're thinking that they would like to bring up and have discussed? All right, hearing none, I try to give everybody opportunity to hit the unmute button just in case it takes a little bit of a time. Executive session, I'm not aware of anything that's needed. Graham?
Not today.
Okay, that brings us to the end of the agenda, and we are adjourned.